B-Pod Studios.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Radio. To listen to the full episode, go to checkpointxp.com.
Never miss anything again.
No way.
Stay on top of your game by heading to checkpointxp.com to get in the game.
Stop blowing my mind!
We're rolling with continuous esports on the only show for esports and video games.
This is gonna be absolute madness around
you! No need for extra tokens. We've got the hookup. Checkpoint XP.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and video games. I'm James Campbell, and along with me is Robbie Landis, as well as the biggest cheater in the entire room, Weird Beard.
I'm going to become the Pete Rose of Checkpoint XP. I will never be allowed into the Hall of Fame because of this one incident.
Yeah.
You follow me.
Yeah,
he's
going to
be
right.
Banned from taking part in contests.
No, when he takes part now, we're going to relegate him over to a corner with like a handheld mic so we know that he isn't looking at anything. I have to know, James, how, like does it hurt you to know that he had to cheat to make sure that he could beat you because he refused to admit that you're superior to him in something?
Actually, I don't know that it hurts my feelings, but it makes me feel superior, knowing that he felt the need to cheat.
Okay, it's a good way to look at it.
Because here's the thing. We're talking, like, trivia knowledge in the video game mm-hmm. realm. I score, like, negative points in that,
yeah.
in that realm. So if he felt like he needed to cheat to beat me.
Look, I'm actually going to give you a little tip here. Later on in the show, when we have a contest between me and James, I'm going to show you how to dominate without cheating.
Excellent.
All right.
Gaming and video games have been a source for a lot of recent content on streaming services like Netflix, Hulu, and more. Well, a recent announcement from Ubisoft proves that there is no slowing down when it comes to video game adaptations. Robbie, which gaming franchise is next up for the anime treatment?
So this is actually a little bit of a weird one because technically it was a novel first, but Ubisoft and Netflix have partnered to develop a Splinter Cell anime with John Wick creator as both the writer and the executive producer. And what's crazy to me is that they've already ordered 2 seasons of this.
They're so hot on this.
16-episode orders each. Now, to be fair, I think that maybe like the cartoons and the animes on Netflix tend to do really, really well and are probably a little bit, you know, cheaper to develop. I mean, something like the Castlevania one.
Did gangbusters.
It has been great. Even when you look at the non-gaming animated stuff, like Voltron, for example, I had put that on my watch list to go back and watch, and I feel like 2 months had passed. Now they have like 7 seasons of it.
Wow.
But Splinter Cell had debuted as a video game way back in 2002 when Ubisoft struck a licensing deal with author Tom Clancy. And the series did pretty decently up until 2013. It's been on a hiatus since then with Splinter Cell Blacklist. I've never played any of them myself, so I'm not really sure whether they were good or bad.
They fell off at a certain point.
I played one on the GameCube, but I just I was confused because you do like the splits over people and stuff.
It seems like it's pretty easy as far as adaptations go. Again, you know, when you talk about like, you know, Super Spy, this isn't something that's specifically video game related. It shouldn't be hard, I think, to adapt this, you know, to a book, to a movie, to a video game. You know, whatever. But it's, you know, just the next in a long line of video games now that are coming to streaming services. You know, historically, video game movies have done horrendously well. And even now...
Super Mario Brothers the movie?
Look, Super Mario Brothers the movie, all right?
Why did they pick Splinter Cell? Why did they pick Splinter Cell, you think, as the
I don't know. Ubisoft's
thing.
Probably just like, hey, you know, we have this franchise that isn't doing anything. Why not? I mean, you know, look, when you look at a bunch of the games that have gotten these deals recently, it's not like they all line up in any weird way. I mean, you know, The Witcher did well. We have Far Cry 3 on the way, followed by Amazon, The Last of Us 2 by HBO. I don't know that any of these really have anything in common outside of just being video games.
James, is there like a video game that you wish would get an anime adaptation? Because I don't know how sold I am on Splinter Cell. Like, it's cool, you know what I mean? Like, but is it the one that if I was going through a catalog that I would be like, yo, this needs to have an anime adaptation? I don't know if Splinter Cell is
I don't know if that's the way that they look at them. I just think they look and they go, hey, what can we market?
What will make money? For me, personally, I'm not a big anime guy, so I'm not looking for anything to be created to an anime, to be
honest.
Let
me ask you this, though. The fact that they have John Wick creator on top of it, I mean, that goes into the whole like Splinter Cell secret agent spy thing pretty well.
Would you give it a 1-episode chance?
Absolutely, yeah. Like, knowing that the guy behind John Wick is behind this anime, I think there's some potential that there could be some really cool stuff put in there, maybe a cool storyline, some weird twists and whatnot. So it's definitely worth checking out, but I can't think of anything that I would honestly be like, here's a game that needs to be an anime. You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and video games. We want to talk to you on the phone. If you want to talk to us, give us a call at 1-833-557-0974. You can even call and ask any question you feel the experts here at Checkpoint XP should be able to answer. Much like Hollywood has a track record of rebooting or remaking old films and series, gaming has also been relying on remakes and reboots as a source for new content recently. But it's got us thinking, like, how long can this trend continue?
You think there's an end to it?
I hope so.
I don't know, because we've never seen a business environment like we have now, to where companies will find one product, and that's the product that forever, if it's made money once, people will buy it again and again and again and again and again and again. I don't know if we're ever going to see an end to it now in the future, ever.
No. I agree with you 100%. I think that Hollywood has even shown us, because I think this has obviously been going on in Hollywood a lot longer than it has in gaming. I think we're only just now starting to sort of reach maybe the peak of it in gaming. But what we've seen in Hollywood is, even after the remakes are done, and I think for a long time people have always been iffy on the idea of remakes in film. Like, there's something about, you know, it ruining the sanctity of the original one. But what they've started doing recently is not remaking or rebooting, but continuing stuff on. You know, you look at something like Fuller House, where they're like, all right, we're not going to redo it, but let's get everybody back and, you know, still cash in on that nostalgia in a new way. Whereas with video games, as long as technology continues to improve, it's going to continue to call for remakes and remasters. You know, the next generation of it might be, okay, let's start adapting everything for virtual reality.
How many have been, like, outside? I don't know, because this is an honest question and not me, like, trying to figure it out. But do you think more remakes have been successful or have been flops?
That's a good question.
I think that there's probably more money in doing a remake of some sort than trying to launch a new property.
Yes.
Because if you launch a new property, there's a chance it just crashes and burns.
I'd agree.
But
with
a remake, even if it's just something, I think the safest way to go is a remaster, you know, just upping the graphics. Because anyone who played the original is going to love this. The nostalgia is going to kick in. They're going to want it. I bought Final Fantasy VII more times than I care to admit on more platforms than I probably even have.
But would you say you're the average video game consumer that would, you know, do that? Because I look at myself as the average video game consumer. And when I see, like, these games get remade or remastered, I've already played it once. I already know how that story goes.
For some people. But then you also have to count on the people who never played the original but might pick up the remaster now.
Fair enough.
Or,
so you're opening it up to a new audience that
exactly.
It wasn't able to experience it before.
If you look at something like the Final Fantasy VII remake or the Resident Evil remakes, for that matter, I mean, those are basically brand new games from the ground up almost. You know, there are people that played those, and even though some of them have remake in the titles, this is their first entry into it, you know?
There's a very thin line, though, between, like, oh, we're remaking it and resurfacing to fans, and this is a cash grab. We know you idiots are going to buy this, so we're going to make it anyways, have fun idiots buying the same thing for the 12th time, and people are just like, please give it to me.
That's
like,
the thing. So long as we continue to buy them, why would they ever stop doing it? There's no reason to whatsoever. So, yeah, I think that as gaming goes on, no one is going to stop with the remakes. I think what is more likely is that they'll start to do more stuff like Final Fantasy VII, where they kind of find a new way to interpret the game, or they start to do continuations of
it. You know what's the most insulting thing about the remakes? And you can flame me for this, but I never want to pay full price, like a full $60, $70 price.
No, I
100%
agree. For a remake
you.
Or a remaster. No. Like, dog, we've played this. It's nicer. Yes, I will pay maybe like $30, $40.
The only way I'm paying full price is if they're remaking it from the ground up, like the recent Resident Evils or the Final Fantasies. But if you're just augmenting the graphics to be high def, no, I'm not paying that much for it.
Looking for a super cheap yet fun game recommendation to play? Maybe it'll help fill some time while you're enjoying the cool breeze from the AC this summer? Well, stick around. We have the free game of the week coming up in just a bit. Because coming up next, Riot Games immediately ends a relationship with a very powerful partner due to backlash from the gaming community. What evil entity did the Riot Games get in the bed with? We'll let you know next on Checkpoint XP.
For all the latest in Overwatch League action, check out The Owl's Nest with me, Robbie Landis, and my co-host, Jake Lyon. Find new episodes every weekend on Checkpoint XP's YouTube or at CheckpointXP.com. Or download from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.